when the enemy, headed by Jarasandha, found that they were gradually being defeated by my soldiers, they thought it unwise to risk losing in the battle for the sake of Shishupal. Shishupal himself should have fought to rescue Rukmini from my hands, but when the soldiers saw that Shishupal was not competent to fight with me, they decided not to lose their strength unnecessarily. Therefore, they ceased fighting and dispersed. Some of the princes, as a matter of etiquette, appeared before Shishupal. They saw that Shishupal was discouraged, like one who has lost his wife. His face appeared dried up. He had lost all his energy, and all the luster of his body had disappeared. One of them said,
"Oh, Shishupal, don't be discouraged in this way. You belong to the royal order and are the chief amongst the fighters. There is no question of distress or happiness for a person like you, because neither of these conditions is everlasting. So take courage. Don't be disappointed by this temporary reverse. After all, we are not the final actors. As puppets dance in the hands of a magician, we are all dancing by the will of the Supreme, and according to His grace alone, we suffer distress or enjoy happiness. We should therefore be tranquil in all circumstances."
The whole catastrophe of the defeat was due to the envious nature of Rukmini's elder brother, Rukmi. Having seen his sister forcibly taken away by me, after he had planned to marry her to Shishupal, Rukmi was frustrated. So he and Shishupal, his friend and intended brother-in-law, returned to their respective homes. Rukmi, very much agitated, was determined to teach me a lesson personally. He called for his own soldiers, a military phalanx consisting of several thousand elephants, horses, chariots, and infantry, and equipped with this military strength, he began to follow me to Dvarka. To show his prestige, Rukmi promised all the returning kings,
"You could not help Shishupal marry my sister Rukmini, but I cannot allow Rukmini to be taken away by Krishna. I shall teach him a lesson. Now I am going to follow him, and unless I kill Krishna in the fight and bring back my sister from his clutches, I will not return to my capital city, Kundin. I make this vow before you all, and you will see me fulfill it."
After thus vibrating all these boasting words, Rukmi immediately got on his chariot and told his chariot driver to pursue me. He said,
"I want to fight with him immediately. This cowherd boy has become proud of his tricky way of fighting with warriors, but today I shall teach him a good lesson. Because he had the impudence to kidnap my sister, I, with my sharp arrows, shall teach him a very good lesson indeed."
Thus this unintelligent man Rukmi, ignorant of the extent of my strength and activities, voiced his impudent threats. In great stupidity, he soon stood before me, telling me repeatedly,
"Stop for a minute and fight with me!"
After saying this, he drew his bow and directly shot three forceful arrows against my body. Then he condemned me as the most abominable descendant of the Yadu dynasty and asked me to stand before him for a minute so that he could teach me a good lesson.
"You are carrying away my sister just like a crow stealing clarified butter meant for use at a sacrifice. You are proud of your military strength, but you cannot fight according to regular principles. You have stolen my sister. Now I shall relieve you of your false prestige. You can keep my sister in your possession only until I beat you to the ground for good with my arrows."
After hearing all these crazy words from Rukmi, I immediately shot an arrow and severed the string of Rukmi's bow, making him unable to use another arrow. Rukmi immediately took another bow and shot another five arrows at me. Being attacked for the second time, I again severed Rukmi's bowstring. Rukmi took a third bow, and I again cut off its string. This time, to teach Rukmi a lesson, I personally shot six arrows at him. and then shot another 8 arrows, killing 4 horses with 4 arrows, killing the chariot driver with another arrow, and chopping off the upper portion of Rukmi's chariot, including the flag, with the remaining 3 arrows. Rukmi, having run out of arrows, took assistance from swords, shields, tridents, lances, and similar weapons used for fighting hand to hand. But I immediately broke them all in the same way. Being repeatedly baffled in his attempts, Rukmi took his sword and ran swiftly toward me, just as a fly proceeds towards a fire. But as soon as Rukmi reached me, I cut his weapon to pieces. This time I took out my sharp sword and was about to kill him immediately, but Rukmi's sister, Rukmini, understanding that this time I would not excuse her brother, fell down at my feet and in a very grievous tone, trembling with great fear, began to plead with me. Rukmini compared Rukmi's position with mine, and very feelingly pleaded with me not to kill her brother just at the auspicious time of her being united with me, but to excuse him. In other words, she displayed her real position as a woman. She was happy to get me as her husband at the moment when her marriage to another was to be performed, but she did not want it to be at the loss of her elder brother, who, after all, loved his young sister and wanted to hand her over to one who, according to his own calculations, was a better man. While Rukmini was praying to me for the life of her brother, her whole body trembled, and because of her anxiety, her face appeared to dry up, her throat became choked, and due to her trembling, the ornaments on her body loosened and fell scattered on the ground. In this manner, when Rukmini was very much perturbed, she fell down on the ground, and I immediately became compassionate and agreed not to kill the foolish Rukmi. But at the same time, I wanted to give him some light punishment. So I tied him up with a piece of cloth and snipped at his mustache, beard, and hair unevenly, leaving patches here and there. While I was dealing with Rukmi in this way, the soldiers of the Yadu dynasty, commanded by Balaram himself, broke the whole strength of Rukmi's army, just as an elephant in a tank discards the feeble stem of a lotus flower. When the commanders of the Yadu dynasty came back to see me, they were all surprised to see the condition of Rukmi. My brother, Lord Balaram, became especially compassionate for Rukmini, who is now considered married to me. To please Rukmini, Balaram personally untied Rukmi, and to further please her, as my elder brother, he spoke some words of chastisement. "Krishna, your action is not at all satisfactory. This is an abomination very much contrary to our family tradition. To cut someone's hair and shave his mustache and beard is almost comparable to killing him. Whatever Rukmi might have been, he is now our brother-in-law, a relative of our family, and you should not have put him in such a condition." After this, to pacify Rukmini, Balaram said to her, "You should not be sorry that your brother has been made odd-looking. Everyone suffers or enjoys the results of his own actions." Balaram wanted to impress upon Rukmini that she should not have been sorry for the consequences her brother suffered due to his actions. There was no need of being too affectionate towards such a brother. Balaram again turned toward me and said, "My dear Krishna, a relative, even though he commits such a blunder and deserves to be killed, should be excused. For when such a relative is conscious of his own fault, that consciousness itself is like death. Therefore, there is no need to kill him." Balaram again turned toward Rukmini and said, "The current duty of a kshatriya in human society is so fixed that, according to the principles of fighting,
one's own brother may become an enemy. Then a Kshatriya does not hesitate to kill his own brother. Rukmini and Krishna were right in not showing mercy to each other in the fighting, despite the family consideration that they happen to be brothers-in-law. Warriors are typical emblems of the materialistic way of life. They become puffed up whenever there is a question of material acquisition. Therefore, when there is a fight between two belligerent warriors for kingdom, land, wealth, women, prestige, or power, they try to put one another into the most abominable condition. Your affection toward your brother Rukmini, who had created enmity with so many persons, was a perverse consideration befitting an ordinary materialist. Your brother's character was not at all admirable, considering his treatment toward his other friends. And you, as an ordinary woman, were affectionate towards him. He is not fit to be your brother, and still you were lenient towards him. Besides that, the consideration that a person is neutral, or is one's friend or enemy, is generally made by persons in the bodily concept of life. Such foolish persons are bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. The spirit soul is of the same pure quality in any embodiment of matter. But those who are not sufficiently intelligent see only the bodily differences between animals and men, literates and illiterates, and rich and poor, which cover the pure spirit soul. Such differences, observed merely on the basis of the body, are exactly like the differences between fires in terms of the various types of fuel they consume. Whatever the size and shape of the fuel, there is no such variety of size and shape in the fire which comes out. Similarly, in the sky there are no differences in size or shape.
In this way, Balaram appeased them by his moral and ethical instructions. He then concluded,
Rukmini, do not be aggrieved by false motives caused by ignorance. Only because of false notions does one become unhappy. But one can immediately remove this unhappiness by discussing the philosophy of actual life. Be happy on that platform only.
After hearing such enlightening instructions from my brother Balaram, Rukmini immediately became pacified and happy, and adjusted her mind, which was very much afflicted by the degraded position of her brother Rukmini. As far as Rukmini was concerned, his promise was not fulfilled, nor was his mission successful. He had come from home with his soldiers and military phalanx to defeat me and release his sister. But on the contrary, he lost all his soldiers and military strength. He was personally degraded and very sorry, but by my grace, he could continue his life to its fixed destination. Because he was a warrior, he could remember his promise that he would not return to his capital city, Kundin, without killing me and releasing his sister, which he had failed to do. Therefore, he decided in anger not to return to his capital city, and he constructed a small cottage in the village known as Bojakot, where he began to reside for the rest of his life. After defeating all the opposing elements and forcibly carrying away Rukmini, I brought her to my capital city, Dwarka, and then married her according to the Vedic ritualistic principle. After this marriage, I became the king of the Yadus at Dwarka. On the occasion of my marriage with Rukmini, all the inhabitants were very happy, and in every house there were great ceremonies. The inhabitants of Dwarka city were so pleased that they dressed themselves with the nicest possible ornaments and garments and went to present gifts, according to their means, to Rukmini and myself. All the houses of Dwarka were decorated with flags, festoons, and flowers. Each and every house had an extra gate specifically prepared for this occasion, and on both sides of the gate were big water jugs filled with water. The whole city was flavored by the burning of fine incense, and at night there was illumination from thousands of lamps decorating every building. The entire city appeared jubilant, Everywhere in the city there were profuse decorations of auspicious banana trees and betel nut trees. At the same time, there was an assembly of many elephants who carried the respective kings of different friendly kingdoms. It is the habit of the elephant that whenever he sees some small plants and trees, out of his sportive and frivolous nature, he uproots the trees and throws them hither and thither. The elephants assembled on this occasion also scattered the banana and betel nut trees. But in spite of such intoxicated action, the whole city, with the trees thrown here and there, still looked very nice. The friendly kings of the Kurus and the Pandavas were represented by Bhishma, Dhritarashtra, the five Pandu brothers, King Drupad, King Santardhan, and Rukmini's father, Bhishmak. Because of my kidnapping Rukmini, there was initially some misunderstanding between our two families. But Bhishma, king of Vidarbha, being approached by Balaram and persuaded by many saintly persons, was induced to participate in our marriage. King Bhishmak was, from the very beginning, inclined to hand over his beautiful daughter to me. One way or another, his purpose had been served, and so he was pleased to join the marriage ceremony, even though his eldest son was degraded in the fight. The story of my kidnapping and marrying Rukmini was poeticized, and professional readers recited it everywhere. All the visitors, as well as the inhabitants of Dwarka City, were so joyful to see Rukmini, the goddess of fortune, and I, the lord of the universe, united together. This story was entitled Krishna Kidnaps and Marries Rukmini and was presented by Radio Krishna and produced by Krishna Productions at the KHQN Studios in Los Angeles, California. It was derived from the book Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, written by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder and spiritual guide of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and published by the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust in Los Angeles, California. The musical selections and engineering were under the direction of Vaibhavi Devidasi, and the story adaptation for radio and voice characterizations were done by your narrator, Amala Bhaktadas.